Thank you for listening to Gateway City Church Online today. We hope this message will be a blessing to you and draw you closer to God. Here are some highlights and prophetic ministry from this service.
This morning, I just feel the presence of God really strong here in this place. And I just think that He wants us to put our hand on our heart. And He knows, He just wants to minister to our hearts this morning. He knows the hard things that you've been through this week, and He knows the things that you're facing, the challenges that you're facing. And He just wants to tell you that He loves you this morning.
Yes.
And that He's here this morning to heal you and to touch you. And He just wants you to let go of the disappointments that happened.
That's it. That's right.
And He just wants to come in and touch your heart. It's as simple as that this morning. He just loves us, and He wants to take care of us. He wants you to know that, like we were singing in that song, that we're accepted, that He accepts us, and that everything that Jesus did for us on the cross made that so. Mm-hmm. So just receive that acceptance. Receive that healing this morning. Receive that love.
Yes.
Lord, we just open our minds and our hearts to You this morning. We open our spirits to You, and we just say, Lord, just fill us this morning.
Yes.
Fill us with Your love. Fill us with Your acceptance. Lord, we receive that love. Thank You, Lord.
Hallelujah. I just had the feeling too, as Kathy was sharing, that if you have migraine headaches, if that's something that happens to you, I really believe the Lord wants to touch people this morning. And blood problems, something about platelets, Holy Spirit is here to touch. If you just need a healing touch, just anywhere in your body, would you just stand and we're going to pray for you. Just right here while the presence of the Lord is strong. We believe in healing. Our God is a healing God. He's able to heal to the uttermost. Hallelujah. Lord, from the top of our heads to the soles of our feet, we receive Your healing blessing, Lord. Because You love us, Lord, and we're confident in Your love, Lord. And we thank You, Lord. We've seen You do many, many miracles. Lord, I just speak right now over blood. I speak right now over migraine headaches, Lord. Father, we break the power together of arthritis, Lord. We ask our arthritis to be just dissolved, Lord. We thank You for bone density problems, Lord. Problems with bone density. Father, we just thank You that our bones will rejoice and be made strong. Lord, we thank You, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, for things that are twisted to become untwisted, for things that are pinched to become unpinched. Lord, we thank You for vitality. Lord, we come against insomnia. Right now, we just declare over our lives, Lord, that we're going to sleep at night, and it's going to be sleep, a sweet sleep. And I thank You, Lord, for extending our sleep through the night. Lord, just let Your peace and Your grace just rest upon us. Those that have just felt disappointed and broken and hurt, Lord, we thank You for Your comfort. We thank You for Your grace, Lord, healing even a broken heart this morning. Those who have lost loved ones, Lord, those who have experienced separation, Lord, disappointments of every kind, Lord, let Your hand and Your strength just come upon us, Lord. Oh, we love You, Lord. Hallelujah. Lift your hands to the Lord. Just say, Lord, I love You. Thank You for healing me. Thank You for a bright future, Lord. Thank You for Your love, Lord. Thank You for a new season, Lord. Thank You for Your goodness, Lord. We just receive it now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Just while you're standing, why don't you take a minute and greet one another in love? Go ahead, just say hello this morning to a friend.
Now let's go into the service for today's message.
Are you ready for the Word of God? You got a teaching outline right next to you on the chair, and it's been a couple of weeks since I've shared. I hope I'm not rusty. We've had guest speakers. I think it'll all come back to me as I get going. There's a teaching outline there, and today I'm excited to start a brand new series. We're going to be talking about the subject of holiness. Now, please do not run screaming out of the auditorium. Everybody, please remain calm. Yes, I did say holiness. But it's going to be okay, and I want to welcome everybody that's listening online. If you're in the cafe, wherever you're hearing this message, we're glad you're joining us. This is a series about holiness, and I'm kind of joking, tongue in cheek. Some people do get jumpy when you talk about holiness because they've had bad experiences with people that talk about holiness. You know, holiness becomes a time of legalism and rules and regulations, and you got to have certain haircuts, and you can't wear certain clothing, and all those man-made rules about holiness. The Bible does say to be holy as I am holy. And when we hear that, we just kind of go, there is no way. I cannot be holy. I'm a mess. Look at me. But there's good news today about holiness. And I hope that you'll open your heart to this subject because God really wants to encourage you. God wants to refresh you and strengthen you. My title of my message today is, I'm holy and I know it. Would you say that with me? I'm holy. Now sing it with me. I'm holy and I know it. No. No, he didn't. My goal today is to get you laughing. And more than that, my goal is to get you to believe what you have just said. I'm holy. I am holy. Not me, all of us. I'm holy and I know it. So important. Our scripture is Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10. I read to you from the Living Bible. It says, we have been forgiven and made what? Clean by Christ's dying for us once and for all. We have been, past tense. It's a fact. It's done. We have been forgiven and made clean through Christ dying for us once and for all. You know, I think part of our anxiety when it comes to holiness or perfection in holiness is that we really believe that God is somehow maybe commanding us to be perfect. God is not commanding us to be perfect. He is not commanding us to be sinless. He has already created sinlessness in us. He has cleansed us. He's commanding us to live a separated, holy lifestyle. So when he says, be holy as I am holy, we think, oh my gosh, I can't be perfect. But God is not expecting you to be perfect in the sense that you're never, ever going to sin. That is the goal that we have, of course, but he is asking us to live a different kind of life. Here's the deal. Holiness is not about our perfection. It's about Christ's perfection. Christ was perfect in our behalf. And we have been made holy through him. So as we unpack this first layer of the holiness message, this series called Clean, I want you to understand something. Holiness is the position, the process, and the pursuit of every believer. I want us to look today at holiness on three levels. It's the position, it's the process, and it's the pursuit of every believer. Now, let's begin with understanding God's holiness. If you have never been with me to Israel, I want you to go. I don't even want you to blink. I want you to write the check next time we go. Just go. Because everybody that goes is super happy that they went. It's a life-changing experience. I love it. I'm going to do it the rest of my life. I love to go to Israel. And I love to take people with us, and we're together all the time. And one of my favorite spots is right there in the city of Jerusalem, just beside St. Stephen's Gate, in a chapel called St. Anne's. Dates back to the 11th century. And every time we go to St. Anne's Chapel in the old part of Jerusalem, we go inside, and because of the acoustics, I think you can get a little idea that it's built out of stone, and you go inside, and the high ceilings, and every surface, of course, is stone, and there's something about the shape of those walls and ceilings and the way they come together that when you sing, it sounds, I mean, it's like heaven. And we always go in there, and if we have a chance, we'll sing Alleluia, Alleluia, and the people that sound so terrible Sunday after Sunday at Gateway, in our cracker box here, in our holy cracker box, but it's, you know, you get in that, and there's something about, it's the same sound that we always make, but because the setting is so amazing, the sound just goes to another level. And I think every time I go into that experience and that sound just reverberating and the beauty, I think about what heaven is going to be like. And I think, man, if we can sound this good on earth, I wonder what heaven is going to sound like. Because again, our voices are going to be the same. But when you get into God's presence, somehow your voice just goes to another level. And you're singing with other people. Well, when I think about God's presence, I say to myself, well, what's it going to be like in heaven one day? And the Bible actually gives us a picture of this. And in Revelation chapter 4, verse 8, it says, it describes a scene around the throne of God. And there are creatures that we've never seen before. Angels, beings that we've never met, that are stationed around the throne of God, and they're singing. And this is the words. We get to take a sneak peek at what is happening in the presence of God. It says, each of the four living creatures had six wings. They were covered with eyes inside and out. Day and night, they never stop singing. And what's their song? Holy. Say it with me, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Keep going. Who was, who is, and now, there's a few things here that are important as you just meditate on that scripture. They are, first of all, they're honoring God for who he is, and the word is holy. Lord, there's only one word to describe you. And that one word, when spoken once, is inadequate. I can't say, Lord, you're holy. I have to say, you're holy, holy, holy. You are the one who was, who is, and who is to come. They're honoring God as holy. They're honoring God as holy in his past, in his present, or in his now, and in his future. In other words, holiness is the eternal character of God. There's a past, present, future dimension to who God is. He always was holy. He is holy right now, and evermore he will be holy. It is his very nature. God isn't trying to be holy. It's who he is. And he's always been holy. He never started to be holy. There never was a day when he said, boy, I should probably become holy. I think I'll try that. He always was holy and always will be holy. So when we get into this subject of holiness, we got to understand this is the eternal character of God. He doesn't change. This is who he is. And even if the culture says, well, that's outdated or this or that, you know, hey, we got to catch up with the time. God doesn't need to catch up with any times. He's the clock. This is who he was. This is who he is. This is who he always will be. You're not going to get God to back up on holiness. You're not going to get him to change. You're not going to fit him into your culture or your current contemporary mood. We're the ones that adjust. God is eternally holy. And we understand through the scriptures that God is so pure just by nature of what he is. He is so clean, so absolutely clean that he cannot mix with the presence of sin. Now, the nature of holiness is like the nature of light. Light cannot mix with darkness, especially absolutely pure and perfect light. There is no darkness in pure and perfect light. And as to God and his holiness, there can be, by definition, no mixture with sin. Sin is so dark. Sin is so ugly. Sin is so unhealthy. Sin is so destructive. It is so horrible that it has no place in God. God is pure. He is clean. He is life-giving. He is holy. He always was. He is and always will be. So, as we amen that, and how many of you believe that's true? Amen. If your name was holy, 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 that pretty well says it all. And so we agree, God is holy, right? But it presents a problem. because we are not holy. And the problem is, we are sinful, but we want to know God. We want to be with God. We want to experience God. We want to be God's friend. We want to be in relationship with God. So how do you bridge the gap between a holy God and sinful people? How do you do it? There's really only three ways you can do it. Think about it. You can make God unholy. That's one way to try to solve the problem. And people try to do that all the time. Oh, God doesn't really care. God understands. God knows all about me. He looks at me as I'm sinning and he says, it's okay. So we try to bring God down to our level. That's one way that we try to fix the bridge between God and man. The problem is that God is holy, holy, holy. And you cannot bring God down. And it's happening in the church. People are bringing the holiness of God down to a level that human beings can be comfortable with. Well, God is, you know, he's positive. God is, true, he's faithful. But holy, no, we can get away with a lot. I'll never forget one time Kathy and I were probably, honey, I think we'd been married about maybe less than 5 years. And we had a guest from Northern California. He was on staff with a church. And he was coming down to do work in our church, kind of borrowing some of our equipment. And so he asked if he could stay with us. And I think he stayed with us sometimes for a week or so. And I don't want to shock you. This guy was on staff at a church. And, we would spend a lot of time talking. Of course, we were living together a week at a time. And he was a joker, and we would laugh, and we always had a lot of fun. And then one time he told us, please don't be offended with this, but he told us how that in his marriage, that he had found that watching pornography with his wife was a blessing. And how they would get together and how it actually enhanced their world and made their world better, and they would watch dirty pictures, and it was okay because they were married. And I'm like maybe 24 years old, and I was totally shocked. Sin has found its way into so much of our world. And I think it has to do with, in the church, that we have tried to bring God down. We've started to say that things that are not okay are okay, and we can look past it. And when we do look past it, we miss who God is. You cannot know God. You do not know God unless you know him as holy, because that's who he is. The other option is to create a religious system. You could create a religious system and solve the gap between God and man. You could make a halfway point between God, where God kind of compromises and people kind of, you know, up their game, and then God and man can meet under very limiting conditions. And that's called religion. And religion really is not the answer, because religion will point out the problem, but it actually gives you no power. There's no power in religion. And we've had that in the Old Testament. We had that, and it taught us, and it showed us God's nature, and it showed us that. But the bottom line is the law still condemns us. Religion doesn't work. You can't bring God down, and you can't create a religious system. So what do you have to do? If you're going to bridge the gap between God and man, you've got to make sinful man holy. That's the only way God and people can be together. If a sinful person becomes somehow holy, this creates a brilliant, wide-open door to unlimited access and fellowship and friendship between man and God. Now, how does God make sinful man holy? Through Jesus Christ. Amen. Hebrews 10:10, we read it. You have been made clean. You have been made holy through Christ's death on the cross. So you've got this great chasm, this great gulf between a holy God and sinful man, and Jesus Christ brings the two together by bridging the gap at the cross. And now we've been forgiven and made clean by Christ once and for all. That's why I say, we can say, praise the Lord, I'm holy and I know it. What a miracle the gospel is. And you're looking at me like there's got to be some fine print here, because I don't feel too holy. Well, we're going to clarify that. But I want you to understand that Christ and his work on the cross has created fellowship, the possibility, the potential of fellowship, connection between a perfectly holy God and perfectly unholy people. And this is how it works. Let's talk for a few minutes about holiness, past, present, and future. Holiness, past, present, and future. Remember, Revelation 4, he who was, he who is, and he who is to come. First of all, I want you to understand that holiness is a position. Everybody say that. Holiness is a position. It's something that you are placed in. It's a category that you are placed in. It's a position. It's a state of being. Ephesians 1 verse 4, this is a mind-blowing scripture. But it says, even before he made the world, God loved us. We could just stop right there and just say, I'm so glad God loves me. Aren't you glad God loves you? You need to understand that before you go any further, because you're somebody that God loves. And before you ever existed, God loved you. He dreamed of you exactly as you are. He's pleased with you. He's proud of you. He wants to know you. He wants to connect with you. He loves you. Even before he made us, God loved us and what? Chose us in Christ to be holy. And without, now this I can't, this one I struggle with. Holy and without fault. Have you ever lived with a fault finder? A mother, a father, a brother, a Christian in the church who has the gift of fault finding? A thousand awesome things could be happening, and there's a fault finding dynamic. Don't blame them. That's probably how they've experienced their life from the beginning. Fault finding. So we get around Christian people, or we get around parents, or we get around people that do nothing but point out the one thing that didn't get done, the one thing that needs to be better, blah, blah, blah. And then we look at God and we say, okay, go at it. I know that's how you see me. And God says, I don't find fault with you. Positionally. Something has happened. Christ has washed away our sins, and we've been placed into a state of holiness. Otherwise, we could never survive in his presence. We could never, we would be burned to a crisp in the presence of the Lord. But we're in this position of holiness. And this happens, beloved, when the moment we receive Christ as our Lord and Savior. How many of you have received Christ as your Lord and Savior? You're a Christian. I pray that if you're listening to me and you're not a Christian, that you will consider becoming a Christian today. Because I'm not trying to sell you on religion. I'm trying to invite you into a relationship, into a position whereby your sins have been washed away and you have been made holy without fault in his sight. This happens the second we receive Christ. He comes to dwell in our hearts by faith, and we are instantly made holy with God. If you are saved, you are clean, you are holy, and did you know it? You are holy. You should know it. Hebrews 10:10, we have been made, what is that? What tense is that? Past, present, or future? We have been made, past tense. We have been made. It is finished. We have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Hear this clearly. Holiness is an effect of our relationship with God. I prayed with a man the other day. who seems to be on his deathbed. And I said to him, he's worried about his eternal, is he going to heaven or not? He's made mistakes in his life. I said, you are as saved as Billy Graham. You are as saved as the Apostle Paul. It's not up to you to live a perfect, sinless life and earn your way into heaven. You cannot hear on your deathbed say, well, I missed this and I blew this and I should have done this and now I certainly deserve hell. He loves the Lord. And he has been made, are you listening to me? He is in a position. Doesn't matter the story or the details. He has been positioned in Christ. Here's what I want to ask you. If you struggle with this and you say, well, this can't be true, Pastor David, because you're supposed to be holy. I'm getting to that. But how holy is holy? How holy do you have to be? If you pray for an hour, is that holiness? No, that's not enough. You got to pray for, is it 2 hours? Then you're holy? Where's the line? Do you have to go a year without sinning to be considered holy? Or is it 2 years? Or is it 5 years? Because I can't even go 10 days. Well, I can, but so far I haven't. And the fault finders remind me all the time. They how holy do you have to be? If we're going to play this game, if you can earn it, please tell me where the line is that I cross from not holy enough to holy enough. And I finally earn my holiness badge. Holiness is a fact of our relationship, of our union with Jesus. The second we were born again, we entered into his holiness. His holiness was imputed to us. It was transferred to us, and our position before God changed from sinner to saint. And folks, do you know what the word saint means? It means a holy one. So turn to somebody next to you and say, you're a saint, evidently. I cannot verify that, but evidently. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? Amen. Holiness is a position, but let's go on. Holiness is also a process. Holiness is the position, the process, and the pursuit of every Christian. Holiness is a process. The Bible says, by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are, watch the tenses here, by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are what? Being made holy. Holy, holy, holy Lord God, who was and who is. God is in my now working holiness in me. I was made holy, but here's the next layer of holiness. I am being made holy. So God is at work in my life, and those who have been made holy by the cross and by the blood are being made holy. And this describes the incredible work of Christ, which has three stages to it. These are theological terms, but I want you to understand them. Justification, that's the moment of our salvation. We've been saved. There is a second dimension of God's saving power in our lives. That's called sanctification. That is the process of God sanctifying, making us holy. That is the current phase that we are in. You have been saved. You are being saved. You are being made holy. And one day, when you're in the presence of God, when you're in heaven, you will be glorified. That's called glorification. You will have a brand new body. You will be removed from the presence of sin. There is no sin in heaven. And holiness and salvation goes to another level. You will be living, I was, I am, and I will be made holy, or I will be saved. So you've got to understand this triune nature of God. He's always, because when you think about it, Time is just like a shoebox. It's all inside that shoebox. History is all there. God can look at it all at the same time, but he ain't in the shoebox. He's outside. He was, he is, and he will be all on the same afternoon. The way we experience time is linear. The way God experiences time is eternal. So God has made you holy. He is making you holy, and he will yet make you holy. And yet Jesus said, it is finished. Because there's three phases to this. Now, where are we today? What phase are we in? We're in the sanctification phase. If you've received Christ as your Savior, you've been saved, but you are being saved. You are becoming holy. And so every day, in a practical way, when I lay my ego down and I love unconditionally and I sacrifice and I feel the pull of sin and I resist sin and my mouth wants to say something and I don't say it, I'm cooperating with the process of holiness. I haven't arrived. Did you notice? I'm not there yet. But I'm being made holy. 2 Corinthians 3, and all of us with unfilled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord, the perfection of the Lord, as though reflected in a mirror, are what? Being transformed. We are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. So God's holiness in our present goes by degrees. It's a progressive work that he's doing in you. Are you cooperating with God's work to make you progressively more like Christ? Well, I can't ever do that. No, you can't. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, look carefully. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, that verse goes on, and I didn't include it there, but it says, this he accomplishes through the Holy Spirit. And so that's the most important thing, yielding your love. There's never going to be enough power in you to make yourself holy. So let's clarify, sanctification. Sanctification, the process of being made holy, we want to use it like this. We'll say, God is remodeling us. This is how C.S. Lewis used to describe it. Take a house and you start stripping out the plumbing and you start stripping out the electrical God changes things. And by the way, he's changing our church and he's helping our church get better and stronger and he's moving things around and he's doing it in your life. You are in a process of remodeling. And you say, well, I think just a coat of paint and maybe a new faucet would be nice. And God says, oh, no, 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 no. We're gonna blow these walls out. We're going to expand the backyard. We're going to put it, because this is not a house for you to live in. This is a house for me to live in, God says. And so I'm working on you, and you know what? Bang, bang. Tink, tink, the noise day and night, and God is working on every single one of us, and none of us has arrived yet, but we're on our way. Hallelujah. You are being refashioned. You are being expanded. You are being remodeled. That's why you should be patient with the people that are next to you this morning, because God is not finished with them. They're on their way, but they haven't arrived. And guess what? You also have not arrived. Your house still needs a little bit of paint and some sanding and a new pipe or two. Hallelujah. How many understand what I'm saying? Everybody say, I'm being remodeled. All right, so surrender to that process. Surrender to that process. God loves you as you are, and he accepts you as you are, but he's not going to leave you as you are. God is changing you. He was, he is, and he is to come. You were, you are, and you will be holy. You will be a dwelling place for God. Hallelujah. All right, here's the third piece. What I'm saying to us is we're holy and we know it, because holiness is the position, it's the process, remodeling process, and it's the pursuit of every Christian. And that's our third piece. And this is where I want to really encourage you. Pursue holiness. Now, the ushers are going to prepare for communion. They can go ahead and get in their positions, and after a few minutes, we'll be serving you. We're going to have holy communion here today. And I'll tell you, I think today's communion service will be as special as anyone you've ever experienced in your life. Once you actually understand that holiness is a fact of your experience in God, that you've been made holy, but you want that process to continue on, let's talk about holiness as a pursuit. Hebrews 12. Would you read this with me? Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. He says, pursue, circle that word, pursue. Pursue peace and holiness. In other words, I want you to run after it, God says. I want you to make every effort. I want you to be diligent. Some people are saying, well, you know, because of grace, I don't even have to try anymore. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible doesn't say you don't have to try. The Bible says that's your daily pursuit. You should strive. Another translation says you should make every effort. Being saved is effortless, but living a holy life requires effort. Being positioned in holiness requires no effort. But once you are positioned in holiness, God says, get up, put your shoes on, tie your laces, and start walking it out in your daily life. Pursue it. Go after it. And this is the position, the process, and the pursuit of holiness. Strive for it. In my recent grace teachings, as I shared here over the last few months, I mentioned the error of neglecting holiness. That's a problem. If we neglect it, some people say, well, if I'm already holy, if I'm already forgiven, then I don't even have to try. But that's a misuse of God's grace. We have to become practical participants in the process. It has to translate to a different life. God is bringing you from a life that you used to have to a different life. And it has to be practical. And I'm not talking about perfection, church. I'm talking about a pursuit, talking about running after it, a daily pursuit of obedience and love and resisting temptation. Romans 13:13 says this, because we belong to the day, we must. Everybody say must. Because we belong to the day, we must live decent lives for all to see. Don't participate in the darkness of wild parties and drunkenness or in sexual promiscuity and immoral living. Don't do it. Or in what?
Quarreling.
Now we think, well, I would never be sexually promiscuous, but a good fight, I'm down for that. I'll fight you right now. I will take you on, sucker. I will fight you right now. I will do it in Jesus' name. And I'm allowed to be jealous. I'm not going to go down to that drunken party, but I can be jealous like a green monster. God says, get rid of all that junk. Take it all off and put something new on. We're called because we are children of the light, because we are God's children. We cannot live. Sin will always be incompatible with God. It's always off tune to live an unholy life or to do an unholy thing. So we've got it. God is tuning us to align our character. Holiness is in your future. Hallelujah. He who was, he who is, and he who is to come. You are headed for holiness. Hallelujah. Worship team, come on up, you guys, and let me give you one last scripture here. We talk about all this holiness stuff, and I know that it's easy to get discouraged because of that fight you got in this last week, or how you've been running your mouth, or whatever. Can I say to us, let's be patient during this process. Grace, truth, and time. We're going to get there. And don't feel bad if you haven't arrived. You're in good company. All of us are about halfway wrecked. somewhere between remodeled and what we used to be, right? And this is what Paul was saying. He said, I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or I've already reached perfection, but I press on. This is my pursuit. I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ has first possessed me. We're going to prepare our hearts for communion. And as we do, this is my challenge to you. Don't give up in your journey to please the Lord. Don't look at yourself and say, I'm a mess and I can never be holy, so why even try? Holiness is who you are through Christ. Holiness is what you're becoming. And holiness is what you're gonna be. How many are glad? Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. Come on, guys, serve the people. And Pastor Nicole's gonna lead us in some Holy Spirit time, some worship time. Just keep one eye open for the tray as it comes by, but let's just spend some time worshiping the Lord. Amen. Let's sing together. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me? We're in the presence of God this morning. He's holy. And if it wasn't for Jesus Christ, and if it wasn't for the cross, we could never be holy. See, that's why he died. He died to make us holy. He died so that we, as sinners, could be made holy and know God and experience his love and live in fellowship and live in relationship. And imagine if holiness opened that door for us. Imagine what our commitment to him could mean. Imagine our response to a love like that. Our response is not, well, praise the Lord, now I can relax. Our response is, Lord, I love you. Thank you for making me holy. Now teach me to walk as you walk, Jesus. Change me and transform me. And that's what communion is. Communion is remembering what he has done, receiving what he is doing, and anticipating what he yet will do. And God has blessings for you like you cannot believe. One thing I want you to understand, your sins are not being held against you. When God looks at you, he says, I'm making you holy, and you are holy. I'm not finished with you, but I love you. Right here, right now, we are connected. We are in relationship. And that miracle only could be true because of Christ. As we take the bread, it should be a simple reminder of the price that was paid, that Christ was beaten, that he was spit upon, that he was rejected, he was brutalized, he died a painful, suffocating death on a cross, and that he rose from the dead. And he did this because he loves us, and nothing about your yesterday can change what he has done for you. You had a bad day. You messed up. It doesn't change what has been accomplished for you. This is what we eat. This is what we ingest. His love, his forgiveness, the permanency of our condition before him. Let's take it together. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. This cup, the cup of blessing, which symbolizes the shed blood of Jesus, which lives. The Bible says his blood lives. In other words, it's active. It continues to cleanse. It continues to work. It continues to deliver. Continues to set free. If you've got a stubborn sin in your life, if something is just resisting you, you might need strong prayer, but let me tell you something. You better tap into the power of the blood because it's alive and it works right now. He'll make you holy. He will. He'll set you free. He'll deliver you, past, present, and future. He'll wash you. Father, we thank you for the bread and the cup. We ask you to bless the cup as we drink, Lord. And Father, I just speak dynamic deliverance. I speak a freeing. Lord, I'm targeting right now with this message and my prayers and this communion, I'm targeting stubborn sins, sin patterns, habits, Lord, things that defile us, things that come out of our mouths, things, Lord, that need to change. Lord, would you change us by the mighty blood that ever lives, that works right now for us. Change us right now. Let the chains be broken in Jesus' name. The blood of Jesus, we say to every evil spirit that is tempting, testing, and pressuring us to move us into sin, your power is broken over our lives right now. He is making me holy. Let's drink with gratitude together. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Would you just take your cup and pass them down to the nearest aisles? The guys are going to come. Would you say it with me one more time? I'm holy and I know it. Say it again. I'm holy and I know it. So you're going to work tomorrow? And there's going to be stuff there that's tempting and people you don't like. And you're stepping onto the campus of your corporate headquarters and you're saying to yourself, I'm holy and I know it. And you're heading back to a social scene or a family life or a relationship where somebody's after you and they're all they want to do is find fault. All they want to do is point out what a gigantic loser you are. And you're walking back into that environment and you're saying to yourself, I'm holy and I know it. I'm holy and I know it. Really, you are. Aren't you glad for that? Tell somebody, you're holy and you should know it. And if you need prayer, the prayer team is going to come down now. Guys and gals that are on the prayer team, if you need any help or spiritual strength in your life, we're going to pray for you. Let's get the prayer up on the board, can we? I think there's a prayer we can say together, and I don't want to dismiss until we can say this prayer. Let's say it out loud together. Father God, thank you for making me clean in Christ. For so long, I've allowed my past to limit my future. I'm sorry for stopping short of your best. I ask for an increase of holiness in my life. Thank you for loving me as I am today and leading me to a better tomorrow in Christ's name. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap. God bless you. You are dismissed, everyone.
We pray today's message ministered to you. If you want to accept Jesus into your life, we'd like to help you get started on your walk with Him. You may reach Gateway City Church at 408-281-7900. If we can help you in any way, please call today. One of our pastors is ready to assist you. Again, the number for Gateway City Church is 408-281-7900. Thank you for listening. If you are ever in the San Jose area, please join us and find out what so many have already discovered. Gateway City Church really is an exciting church that loves life, loves people, and loves God.